You're listening to Amud v'Chazara with Danny Eisberg, Maseches Shabbos, Daf Ayin Ches Amud Beis, starting with Ayin Ches Amud Aleph at the bottom by the Mishnah, and the points for the zichru points for the simon. First of all, the first topic is substances that have more than one use. So that was the discussion up there earlier in the Amud of Abaya, talking about some things that are shchicha and some things that are not shchicha. Certain things are multi-purpose items. So if it's a common use, that if they're both common uses, you go after the smaller shear. If one use is common and one is uncommon, you follow the more common one, even if that will result in a kula. And the next two points are going to be from tonight's Amud and the Simit. If you could take a guess of what Ayin Ches would be, what would you say?
A
child, yeah. Going ugh. So that's going to be our Simit. You have to know if we get a picture. I'm sure we'll enjoy. So let's take a look at the Gemara. The Mishnah. Hamotzi chevel kedei lasos. Okay, so this is going to be a lot of these. This is a shiurim shiur. It's a shiur about many shiurim for various objects, materials, and we're going to be hopping around to Rashi for some translations over here. And this is actually going to be one of the points for the sim, for the simon. The zikr simon is that this is a Mishnah, right? We previously had shiurim for animal food, if you remember. That was on, anybody remember? Alright, cow food and camel food mixed together. The guy ate. Close. I vav. He was an IV. Remember the guy ate the camel, the bet, and then he had to be on an IV, an ayin vav. So that was the camel and cow food. And then we had the shear for liquids. That was actually, I don't think I even posted the simon for that. I think it was ayin zayin. So we have the shear for liquids, and now we're talking about the shear for other random objects. Oh, we also had for ochlim, we had for foods as well, I think. But now we're doing, or some foods at least, now we're having random objects and materials. So hamotzi chevel kedei lasos ozen lekupa. So someone who carries a rope, so how much rope, in order to make an ear, really a rim, or like a handle, probably actually more of a handle. Handle's more correct. Ogen is a rim. Ozen, a handle for a basket. Gami kedei lasos talai lanafa. So this is like a reed material, and this is enough to make from it a talai for a nafa. Rashi says letalosos, like a loop to hold it by, lenafa ulukavara, for a sieve and a sifter, the different types of things like that. So that's the shear for that. Rabbi Yehuda Omer kedei litomi menu midas minal lekatan. Rabbi Yehuda says no. That's not the amount of gummy. That's not the shear for gummy. Rather, the shear for gummy, this reed, is actually that what would be used to measure the shoe of a katan, meaning. Rashi says, "Laharos le'uman kamida zu anitzarach." Right, someone who says to the shoemaker, "I measured my kid's foot against this gemi string, and this is the size that I need." So that amount would be the share. So you could also just go to the shoemaker and say, if you know Hilchos Shabbos, the amount that to carry out, you can also try that trick if he's a knowledgeable shoemaker to tell him how big you need your kid's shoe to be. Nir kedei lichtov alav kesher mochsin, paper. Nir is paper. Rashi just clarifies me'asavim osim oso, from grass. Grass paper, papyrus, right? Not as opposed to cloth, as we'll discuss soon. So how much of this paper kedei lichtov alav kesher mochsin, enough to write a like a receipt of a tax receipt. This is for someone who is Rashi says clarifies meches l'rosh hanahar, right? The you have to pay the troll under the bridge. No, the tax in the bridge for your easy, if you don't have an easy pass. So you have to do this. Take out this this paper, and we're going to be discussing this in the Gemara more. Exactly how big this is. So today, the Tavala of Kesher Mochsin, Vamotzi Kesher Mochsin, Chayiv. And then also adds, seemingly superfluously, and somebody who carries this Kesher Mochsin, Chayiv. So just not, and we'll discuss. So not just the paper size of a Kesher Mochsin, but also if you carry the Kesher Mochsin itself, it's Chayiv, and we'll have to discuss the relevance of that statement. Okay, turning the Yamud. Nir Machuk Kedei Lichroch Al Tzlochis Katana, Shel Plaiton. And so a near machok, meaning erased paper, near machok, Rashi says, shuv eno roi lichtov l'fichach tzarech shir gadol lichroch al pi tzlochis. So erased paper is not really usable for writing anymore. Therefore, so what's the point of erasing, right? So at least the paper that they're talking about. So therefore, since it's not really usable anymore, then the minimum shear is not going to be the size of what we're going to see later on is the you know tax receipt, which is going to be two larger letters. So, but it's going to have to be a bigger shear than that for erased paper because it's less functional. And rather, it's lichroch kedei lichroch in order to wrap around al tzlochis katana shel plaiton, which is a small tzlochis, a small flask of plaiton, which is balsam oil, which we spoke about. This is one of the I'm blanking on which daf, but this is one of the things we're talking about as a tachshit, a woman wearing this little thing of balsam oil. So I drew some plaiton before. And that would be the amount, which is larger than the amount of a tax, the size of a tax receipt. What about animal hide? Animal hide. Kidei lasos kamea, in order to make a kamea. Duchsotus, kidei lichtov mezuzah. The marshal erases this aside. And Rashi doesn't tell us what duchsotus is. Anyway, so the size of a kamea for leather, for animal hide, klaf. Cloth is going to be also from animals, but it's more processed and fine. Kedei lichtov alav parsha katana shebetfilin shehi shema Yisrael. The minimum size for cloth is enough to write the smallest parsha of tefillin of the Dalet Parshios. We had two of them at the end of last week's parsha, and that is the Shema Yisrael v'yahavta. That's the smallest one. That's the size. Now this is going to be different than paper because people don't typically use something like cloth for a tax receipt. Cloth is much much higher quality. Therefore, the smallest thing people would write on it is the smallest paragraph of Tefillin, which is Shema Yisrael. I'm just wondering why. Because mezuzos also. Okay, yeah, that's what it says. Okay, I guess mezuzos is probably actually a little bit longer than the smallest parts of Tefillin, which because in at least in the Shel Rosh, the Tefillin, each part is written individually, and that's going to be smaller. Okay, so that's the size. Dio, how much ink, how much dye or ink? Kedei lichtov bezos, he has to write two letters. Kahol, which is like I believe it's called it because it was blue, but some sort of a eye application makeup of some sort. Kedei lichol ayin achas, in order to put on one eye. And Rashi just gives us a heads up. L'kaman parach ayin achas halo kachli. That's a very funny measurement. What kind of woman will, what kind of woman is going to put on application for one eye? Now you could give me some strange examples, but to say that this is the general mahalachas would be funny. So what is this? So why would that be? But that's what the Mishnah says. Devek kedei liten barosh shafshef, glue enough to put out the head of a shafshef. The Gemara Mefarish lessons Rashi, some sort of board. The Gemara is going to explain what that is. Zephes vigafris, which is like pitch and I guess tar. Actually, Guffrus is like sulfur. Guffrus is sulfur. Zephys is pitch or tar. Guffrus is sulfur. Kede lasos nekev shava kede litain alpi. Oh, sorry. Kede lasos nekev. In order to make a hole. So, where does pitch and tar make a hole? And then the next measure is shava wax kede litain alpi nekev katan, in order to put over a small hole. So Rashi explains the second one, kede lasos nekev katan. Says kli shenosin bo kesef chai so same piv bezefa. So you have a kli that someone puts living silver. I want to guess what living silver is. Mercury. It's mercury, right? So it's alive, right? So what they do is that they have to put some pitch or tar over this hole. Vanoki besokasima neck of dak lohotzi bo. So what they do with the. I'm not sure. This Rashi says nekev katan, which makes it look like it's going on the second thing, right? Because if you look in the Gemara, it says kedei lasos nekev, and the shava, the wax, is placed on the nekev katan. But Rashi looks like he's referring to the Zephes and Guffrus one. So it could be there's some girsa confusion in Rashi. But anyway, so it's something to cover up this hole that they would like dig, like put, there would be an opening, they would put this, the pitch or tar, and perhaps in the other case, wax over the hole, and then they would pierce a hole through it and then recover it. That was the process. Charosis, Rashi says, is a levena kesusha, a pounded brick or crushed brick. So what's the sheer size of that? Kedei lasos pikur shel tzorfei zahav. This is to put at the opening, the mouth of a crucible for gold. Rabbi Huda Omer kedei lasos pitput. He says no. The mount for a measure for a brick, for a crushed brick, is pitput, which is a regular makom moshav hakur. It's something that you would, it's a leg that you would, for the place where you would put the crucible. Shahiyu moshivin al kain hasoy lekach. And you know, that's where people said it. Kigon tripod. It was like the shvos katera. It was like a tripod to put the kedera on. So I guess they used pounded bricks to make this, to make the leg for a tripod for the crucible. And that's what Rabbi Yehuda says is the shear. So sovin kedei litain al pi kor shel tzorfei zahav, and suvin, which is bran. So that would also if that's related, it's going to be put on the mouth of the crucible as well. They would cover it. Rashi says, "B'makom she'ein pachamin sorfin zahav ba'esh shel suvin." Okay, I guess we're in the place where there's no coals, and I guess they put the gold in, so that's where they put bran. Okay, and sid kedei lesud ketana shebanos, and sid, which is lime, which is in order to put lime on the katana, like the small parts of banos, of the daughters, right? They would put, Rashi says, toflos seed lahasheras seyar. I forgot if he had this in brachos or not. You know, and maybe it's in Moi Katan, where it talks about that women would put on this like lime to remove the hair and make their skin glow. But there's a story about this, like someone who put it on his daughter's entire body at in one shot, and she died from it. But anyway, the amount of seed is in order of lime is enough to anoint or not anoint, but like I guess smear on the small limb, I guess a finger, or maybe even a joint of a younger girl. Rabbi Huda Omer kedei lasos kilkul. Rabbi Huda says, in order to make a, in order to place on a kilkel, and Rashi on ayin of a base, says kilkel tzida. He says tinpala v'sadin osa lahashkiv haseir. It says like on the temple, and it would be something that would like lay down the hair. So it was something that flattens the temple, like the temple of a head. There was something that was, I guess they would place this lime on their temples to like flatten their hair, right? If you ever want to avoid cowlick, you can go get some lime. Well, I'm going to put it in your hair, recommended. Okay. And Rabbi Nechemia argues that no, you don't. It's not enough to put there. It's enough to put on the forehead. So I don't know, unibrows, whatever it might be. Okay, let's get to the Gemara. So sometimes these Mishnayos are very, I don't want to say they're painful, but you gotta have to break your teeth to get through some of these things and. You know, try to understand some of the terminology and the things they did back in the day that were so blessed to have no clue what it's talking about, you know. Okay, so chevel nami lechayiv kedei lasos talai lenafa v'lechavara. So a rope should also be chayiv in order for the amount to make one of these like loops for a sieve or a sifter. Why is it not the case? So the Gemara says, "Kevan decharik b'mana," because it cuts away at the mana, at the kli. So people typically ropes are a little bit harsher than the reed, and therefore it's not as common a use. B'mana lo avde inchi, and people therefore and don't do it like that. Therefore, chevel is the shear that we mentioned previously, which is to make a handle for what's it. For a kufa, for a box. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. Hutsin kedei lasos ozen, lasal. Kafifa mitzris. Okay, lasal kafifa mitzris. So now we're going to be talking about different parts of date palms. Special, just a happy Tu B'Shvat to everybody to get our shouted in there. So there are different parts of the date palms. So hutsin are the palm fronds, which are like basically like a lulav stalk. So what is the shear for that? So kedei lasos ozen lasal kfifa, which is enough to make a handle for like one of these kfifa mitzris or mitzaris. Enough to make this type of a handle for a certain type of basket of this kfifa mitzaris salha so mitzure deka, Rashi says it's made from the basts of palms. Okay, kfifa. When I saw the kipipa, that's what my son used to call a kipa, kipipa. So I got excited when I saw that one. So the sal kfifa mitzaris sieve. So what about sieve? Rashi says v'dilis shegadol saviv adekel ke'ein malbush v'nichrach saviv seva ole. So it's something that grows around the dekel, this palm, right? So what is this? So cheir ma'omrim kedei liten al pi mashpech. So enough of this sieve, this like. Bast that grows around the date palm, that's enough to be for to cover the mouth of a funnel to work. Meaning you can cover the mouth of a funnel a little bit with this sieve. It's funny, that's actually, it's very interesting actually. It's called a sieve in Aramaic, which it sounds like it's actually doing the job of the English word a sieve, where you put it at the cover of the funnel and then it'll be able to prevent certain things from going in. As it says over here, right? So after Roman could elite and alpiv mashpech katan lasanin es hayayin, that you would want to strain the wine by putting it through this sieve that is serving as a sieve. Revav, Rashi says shuman or shemen, some grease or oil. So what's the role of this? Kedei lasuch tachas ispagin katana. That's in order to like anoint to smear under ispagin katana, Rashi says spugin is a rakik, it's a wafer. Shenosin batanur v'tach and tach tavelah. Right, basically we mentioned back on daf dalet actually that the way they used to make rodetus a pas, right, when the way they used to make bread often in ovens, they would stick it to the side, the inside of the oven, and then there's an iser derabanan of taking it down, and we discussed over there is. So, like, you can take back the malacha by doing that, but you're violating Isur Darabanan. Is that okay? So, what they would do is they would have the wafers and place it again. So, what they would sometimes do is they would put this revav, oil or grease, to stick on the bottom of the wafer and stick it against the wall. So, that's the amount of oil that or revav of this type of oil or grease that would be, that's the shear, enough to stick with the wafer against the wall. But that's not so simple. The Kama Shiura. So what type of wafer are we talking about? Kisela, the size of a sella, right? That type of standard coin that they had. Okay. Problem. Bahatanya Grogeres, but we learned in a Braisa, Kigogeres, that it's the size of a dried fig. So simple answer, Idividi Chat Shiruhu, they're the same shear. Okay. Mochin. Mochin is some sort of like flocking cotton-like material. We mentioned them on Memches about using it in for insulation. We mentioned mochin before. So kedei lasos kador katana, in order to make a small ball of a kamashiro. Okay, what type of small ball are you talking about? Kaego is the size of a nut. I don't know what they were used for. These cotton balls. I guess you can use them for whatever people use cotton balls for nowadays, right? Sheep projects in kindergarten. So. Yes.
Medicine
application. Yeah, that too. I think that's all. That's lo shlicha. That's not as common as using it for sheep or clouds and kids projects. At least, you look at my wall of kids projects. Ruch Hashem. Okay, niar kedei le. Oh, so now. So wait. So okay, it's good. Niar kedei lichtova love kesher mochsin. So let's talk about this paper that's to write the size of a tax document. So Tana Tana Kama Kesher Mochsin. So we have a Brisa that is a little bit more specific for those of you who have not seen an ancient Babylonian or ancient Israel really bridge tax receipt. So this is what it looks like. Tana Kama Kesher Mochsin Shtei Osios. It's two letters. That's what was written. Shall kesher moksin. Urminu. But we have a contradiction. Hamotsnir chalak. Im yesh bo kedei lichtov shtei osios. Chayiv. Vim la. Oh, sorry. Just a second. So there's a girsa change over here that I think is actually very important. That the aruch says on the sides. Shtei tan kama kesher moksin shtei osios bichsav yivani. And Rashi, and it says over here, Shehin Gedolos Meos Yosef. I don't know if you guys have that? Like mine has like a little asterisk. And it clarifies this girsa. But it's not just two letters, but it's two Greek letters which are larger than Hebrew letters. Which that's an important point because we're about to contradict it. So a paper, right? Paper the size of two larger than standard Hebrew font letters. That is the shear. Urminhu, but we have a contradiction or another bright side that says Hamotzinir Chalak Im Yesh Bo Kedei Lichtov Shtei Osios Chayev Im Laav Poter. We have a bright side that says if someone has smooth paper, meaning clean paper, not written on. If there's room to write two letters, chayiv im la pater. It says two letters, which you would assume would mean standard Hebrew letters. But the first brisa says two Greek letters, which are larger than Hebrew letters. So which one is it? So Rav Sheshes says, my shteosios shel kesher mochsin. When it says two letters, it means two letters of a tax receipt, meaning two size of Greek letters. The first brisa says the size of two Greek letters, and it could be, I don't know if it wasn't written in Greek, but it's just I think it's just that's talking about the font size, right? You know, we have Times New Roman, and now we have Times New Greek. You know, that's not really the, that's the font. It's not the size, but you get the concept. So, or so it was Hebrew, probably Aramaic would make more sense that it was written in. And so these, so the first brisa says it's these two Greek-sized letters, and in this next brisa says two letters. Contradiction. Rav Sheshet says no, it's not a contradiction. The second one is talking is it says two letters. It means two tax receipt-sized letters, which are two Greek letters. It's the same thing. Rav Amar, no. Shtei osios didan. No, when it says two letters and it doesn't specify that it's Greek-sized or tax receipt-sized, so it just means two. Ubeis achiza, but also it includes a place to hold it. Dehainu kesher mochsin, which is the size of kesher mochsin, meaning that two Greek letters is the same size as two Hebrew letters and a little space to hold on the paper to hold it, because they would hold it and they would show it. So they need to hold it from somewhere, because if you're holding it, if it's really, really small, and you're holding it, and you're covering one of the letters, so that doesn't help. So, and Rashi just says over here, Kesher Shamochsin, lo bai gilyon, so the Kesher Shamochsin itself, lo bai gilyon, it didn't need one of these, like, margins to hold it by, lebeis achiza, she'ochso, why? She'ochso kula bekapo pashut v'roa. Because the way they would hold the tax receipts is that they would put them in their hand, in their palm, like that. However, in general, so the tax receipt itself would be placed there, and you didn't need to show, you didn't need a base achiza, a place to hold it, a space. That's why we don't mention that. However, the regular shear, but if you would talk about non-tax receipts, the measurement, so you would say, oh, two regular Hebrew letters and a place to hold it, and that would be the same shear, right? That's clear, right? So if I want to tell you two identical shiurim, a tax receipt with no place to hold it and two large Greek letters is the same as a non-tax receipt, two Hebrew letters and space to hold it. It's the, that's the same size, but it's not so pashut, what I was saying, right? So dehainu kesher mochsin, that's the size of a kesher mochsin. Meisvei. We're going to challenge this approach. This is the following from, sorry, there we go. Hamotzi nir, so we have another brisa. Hamotzi nir machok, if somebody takes out erased paper, vishtar perua, this is really, or a paid up document, meaning a paid up document that's basically worthless. So we have two different types of worthless paper. Or at least worthless for its paperness and availability for writing. So, im yesh beloban shelo kidei lichtov shtei osios. So Rashi says the luvan is a gilyon. It's the margin. So if there's enough clean space in it to write two letters, oh bekulo kidei lekroch al pitzlochis. Katana shaplaiton, or if at least it's usable for what we said at the beginning, at the top of the Yamud, the first line of the Yamud, that it's at least usable as paper to cover up a small thing of balsam oil. So chayev, you would still be chayev. Vimlav, putter, if not, putter. So this is actually going to be problematic to what Rava suggested. Bishlam of the Rav Sheshes, this works out to Rav Sheshes, de Amar, my shtei osio shel kesher mochsin shapir. So when he says, what are two osios? So it's two osios of a kesher mochsin, meaning Greek size letters. So then this makes a lot of sense, what we just said. Elo, what, right? Because over here, and Rashi explains this, over here, if we have this type of paper, so the type of paper that we're talking about, you don't need the base achiza, because you can hold it from the point of the irrelevant writing or the erased writing, you could hold it from that point. So you don't need a base achiz over here. So, elo lurava de amar shte osios didan u base achiz adahinu kesher mochsin. But according to Rava, who explained the brisa, the second brisa, as it's talking about, no, our regular Hebrew sized letters and a base achiza, And that's the size of Kesher Mochsin. So hacha beis achiza lo tzarech. Over here, you don't need a beis achiza. So what? So why would you give that same measurement? Right over here, we're assuming that all three brisos are going to be talking about the same measurement. Over here, it says that you only need space for two osios. So you can't line up all three of these brisos according to Rava, and the Gemara concludes kasha. Yeah, it is a problem for Rava's approach. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, Havotzi Kesher Mochsin Ad Shelo Herahu LeMochis. So somebody who shows a Kesher Mochsin, Kesher Mochsin Ad Shelo Herahu, sorry, somebody who carries one of these tax receipts that he like passed over the bridge before Ad Shelo Herahu LeMochis, but he did not show it to the tax collector yet. Chayiv, he's Chayiv. Misharahu lemoches putter. But if he already got past the tax collector, he already showed it to him. He says, "This is my seat." Passed through already, right? The conductor already came into the cabin and collected everything. So then he would be putter because it's useless. Rabbi Yehuda Omer af misharahu lemoches chayiv. He says, "No, even if he sends it, even if the moches he already passed the moches, he's still chayiv. Why?" Because he still needs it, right? So this is machlokas, the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda, whether you already showed it to the tax collector, does it still have worth or not? So what's this machlokas based on? So my binayu, says the Gemara, Amar Abaye, Ika binayu, Rehite Muchsa. We're going to have three pshatim over here, Abaye, Rav, and Ravashi. So what's the difference? Rehite Muchsa. The runners of the tax. Rashi explains Shiratz these Korans Shiratz and Achara Ovrim Lahalil Lehem. The tax collectors had some very fast assistants who would run around, run after people and catch them in order to double check Shalonas Namechas, right? They're concerned that maybe they didn't give a tax. And what they would do is they would drag the guy back to the moches and say, "Hey, did this guy pay?" So it was very helpful. And it was very helpful to save this receipt with you, and you would show it to these runners, and then you can get out of going back. The Tanakhama says lo matznei le lahachi. He wouldn't keep it with him. No one wants to keep the receipt on them. So if these runners would come after them, come after the guy, he would just say, "Okay, I threw out my receipt. I'm happy to go back and explain myself." I guess it wasn't too far, right? They wouldn't. I don't know how far these tax collectors would come. Maybe he would hold on to his receipt for a little bit. But anyway, that's the machlokas of the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda. One of these receipts, does it still have value after you leave? Is it considered having enough value that it could make you avoid having to go back to the tax collector or not? That's nachlokes, whether it still has value or not. And if it still has value, then you'd be chayiv. Rav has a different approach. Rav Amar, moches gadol and moches katan yikubanayu. Now, if there's a big moches and a small moches, a big tax collector, like a senior tax collector and a junior tax collector. So Rashi says, moches katan. Sometimes you have like one guy who'd be staying by the bridge all day. He was like the senior member, and then there would be a moches katan. So you wouldn't necessarily have to show the receipt to anybody except the gadol. Rabbi Huda says that the katan would also want to see it, and he might hold him back from crossing over. But the Tanakhama says ein sarich lo, you don't actually need it. Shahagadol moser lo simen dvarim, that the gadol, the senior tax collector, would give over a simen dvarim, meaning like a password, a code, a secret code. Uva omer the katan over, and he'd be able to pass through. So the machlokus over here, according to Rava, is that once you've already shown it to the gadol, there might be a lower rank tax collector who's going to want to double check you, And according to the Rabbi Yehuda, he indeed will double check you, and he's going to be matriach you to go back to the big guy. And according to the Tanakhama, no, it's fine. The gadol for sure gave a password, but the gadol is aware of a password. He would give it to you, and when you go to the less official guy or the lower official, you could just give the password and get away with it. And therefore, according to the Tanakhama, this receipt is basically valueless. I would say even more valueless according to Rava than according to Abaye. Because at least there's like a tircha you're avoiding by keeping the receipt. Over here, there's not even a tircha avoiding because according to the Tanakhama, you have a password that totally works. One more approach. Rav Ashi Amar Chad Moches Ika Benayu Mibnei Shetzarech Lo Laharoso Lo Moches Sheni. So Rav Ashi says that there's one Moches I'm talking about. We're talking about a case where there's one Moches. And so why would he keep it? He wants it laharas lemoches sheni in order to show to another moches damar lek. So you could say, chazi gavra de moches ana. Look at me, I am a gavra de moches. I am a man who pays my taxes. So if you walk around with this, you know, like it's like a sticker, right? I voted. I got the vaccine. I was vaccinated. So you could say, I paid my taxes. I think that'd be a good way to encourage people to pay taxes. And why are you showing it to a moches sheni? Because then the moches sheni, will know, okay, this guy's a trustworthy guy. He's a man of integrity. And I don't have to bug him so much at some other point. Okay, I'm just checking the time. Okay, we're a little over. Should we start the next price? Or So what we'll call here, I'll just mention the third point quickly. So of the simon, so the right of ayin ches, the child going ach. So the three points of the simon are what we did on the previous amud, which was the shear of shchicha and lo shchicha. If there's multi-purpose items. So it goes by only a common one, but the smallest, most common one. And then we have all the shiurim for the different random materials of rope and paper and hide and things like that. And the third thing in the simon is the discussion about all these interesting discussions about tax receipts and different cheshbonus a person might have. So I'll post the, I don't remember the simon offhand. I just remember those are the three points to do chazara on. Anyway, it's good to do chazara on these points, and I'll blinader post the simon in the group, and we'll try to get a picture in there too.